Stand by while NCLA cuts through the noise to signal abuse of administrative power. This is Administrative Static with Mark Chenoweth and John Vecchione.
Welcome back to Administrative Static. Mark Chenoweth and John Vecchione here. And John, I am hot under the collar, I have to tell you, about this next topic. You may have heard this week, and our listeners in Colorado, I'm quite sure, will have heard this week, that a conservative author and commentator, Candace Owens, was denied the ability to get lab results when she tried to get a coronavirus test at a Colorado lab because of her political beliefs. She was sent a letter by Aspen Laboratories co-founder Susanna Lee telling her that her booking was being canceled and that they were denying her service because of the positions, the political positions that she has been taking with regard to governmental mask mandates and vaccines. And I don't agree with everything. I don't pretend to know everything that Candace Owens has said about mask mandates or vaccine mandates or the efficacy of vaccination shots. I suspect I would agree with some of what she says and that I would disagree with some of what she says. But that's not really the point, John. The point is that we can't be a country where people are denied basic medical care based on something that somebody thinks that they heard them say, or even if they did say something. The idea that you get denied basic medical care, and there's a certain illogic to this as well, right? I mean, from the perspective of the lab owner who took this radical and completely, I understand that a lab owner isn't a doctor, but the idea of the medical profession, right? The oath that doctors take, first do no harm. The lab owner doesn't know whether she's doing harm or not by denying somebody a booking for a lab test. Now, maybe Candace Owens was able to quickly get a lab test somewhere else. I don't know how quickly this whole thing unspooled, but you could certainly imagine a factual situation where someone thought they were going to have access to a lab test, didn't have access to a lab test, and then ends up infecting somebody else because they didn't have access to the lab test at time. So if that happens, then I would say that the lab is partly at fault for having, you know, had that happen. But I think that we're just this whole thing is just getting out of hand. I don't mean specifically to the vaccine world, although that's where we're seeing it more and more, and where apparently it's getting worse now with President Biden's announcements about new federal mandates this week. But I just really want to focus, John, on this whole concept that based on your political beliefs, that completely unrelated activities that you're involved in. So for General Flynn, it's his banking. His bank, Citibank, apparently one of the largest banks in the country, canceled his credit card and canceled his bank account, not because he was behind on his payments or overdrew his account or something like that, but because they don't like his politics. And they're claiming that somehow being affiliated with him is bad for them. Who knew that Citibank was affiliated with General Flynn until they came out and canceled his accounts? I had no idea that he was affiliated in any way, or that that's where he did his banking. I guess unless you're the waiter or waitress who takes his credit card at a restaurant, you're likely not going to know where the guy does his banking or who has his credit cards. I mean, John, I know you pretty well. I have no idea where you bank or which credit cards you use. I don't know if you're a MasterCard guy or a Visa guy or American Express or some of each. I don't know. That's not the kind of information that we necessarily know about even our close friends. And yet now somehow this has become something that's being used by the left by radical people in order to just try to make the lives harder of folks who take positions that they disagree with. And this is going to destroy society if this is allowed to continue. We cannot have a world in which you and I have to agree about everything in order to agree about anything. Go ahead.
Well, I'm saying that, you know, in Soviet countries, this happened. This is, you could be denied medical care, even though you're supposed to have it at all times. And they would then treat you, you know, if you were against the regime, they would treat you in psychiatric places just for that. I mean, that's where we're going, because it's not just the laws. It's a culture of tolerance. It's a culture of, hey, this is my job. I'm going to stick to my job. His job is given tests, and he's going on, well, you know, I have a political test for you to get your COVID test.
Yeah, that's what happened here. And you know, from a philosophical standpoint, there's something called, and I learned this from Cass Sunstein, who is no conservative, but was a professor who I had for several classes in law school at Chicago. And he talked about incompletely theorized agreements. That's the sort of philosophical idea. And the point is that, look, if I walk into a chicken sandwich place, we have a Chick-fil-A here a block from the office. If I walk into Chick-fil-A, then what we need to agree on is that they have a good chicken sandwich and that I'm willing to pay the posted price for that chicken sandwich. And what they need to know about me is that I have the $10. And what I need to know about them is that they have the chicken sandwich. And that's a complete transaction. Right. We don't have to agree about abortion or gay rights or, you know, the price of tea in China. We just have to agree about the price and the sandwich. And that is that sort of commercial relations that take place on that limited basis are part of what is the lubricant for society. It's part of what allows us to have a civil society. It's part of what makes our society civil, that we don't have to have these agreements or disagreements about everything. You know, our offices are here in DuPont Circle in Washington, D.C., and there are lots of businesses who have lots of political signs out in front of their businesses, whether it's a rainbow flag or Black Lives Matter signs or what have you. And I suppose that folks have commercial reasons to do that. They may think, at least in this neighborhood, that increases their business to have those sorts of signs out. But I'm very concerned. And by the way, I should say the fact that they have those signs out, they don't then say, they don't make you, when you go into those stores, agree with whatever their political sign is before they serve you. That's not, I mean, they're hoping that if you do agree that you'll come in. They may not care if you disagree that you stay out. But they're not doing what this lab owner in Colorado did. They're just sort of using their place of business to express their political views. I don't think that that's the same kind of problem. But when you start denying service based on extraneous views, I think that's a real problem. And John, you were telling me that Jimmy Kimmel weighed in on this debate.
Yeah, so there's a number of things. Citibank is certainly, I don't know what percent of the market it is, but it's a big outfit to deny someone a credit card. That spreads through banking. That's disastrous. But last night, you know, Jimmy Kimmel said that the unvaccinated shouldn't get hospital beds. Now,
good grief.
And you know, he's a comedian. Maybe it was a joke. I was looking at it.
I don't think so. He's not very funny anymore.
Exactly. It didn't look like a joke to me. And what you have here is the sort of thing whereby if you're sick, now I think the unvaccinated are going to get sick more than the vaccinated. I believe that is true. That is, but then where do you go? Where do you go from there as well? I mean, are we going to make everybody get on the treadmill and be at the weight that the CDC thinks they should all be? Believe me, that's half of America or more. It's not going to be there.
The Johnson & Johnson folks, you know, their vaccine may not work as well as the Moderna folks. So are we going to say, well, you chose the Johnson & Johnson vaccine instead of the Moderna vaccine, so you're not going to get a hospital bed? I mean, where do you draw the line?
It'll be like the scene in Indiana Jones when he picks the wrong cup. You chose poorly.
I love that scene. But, you know, you've had your third booster shot, right? Or no, you've only had two? Oh, well, if you're a two booster shot rather than a, you know, two boosters, you know, three boosters good, two boosters bad, right? I mean, it's that sort of Animal Farm kind of mentality that is starting to leak out here.
I know, and you know, it is amazing how widespread it is. because in banking, you know, Citibank, I wonder if the regulators didn't put pressure
on. I wonder that too, right? That's what the Operation Choke Point. We know that was happening during the Obama administration. It's just a coincidence that this is General Flynn, who we know that the Obama-Biden people detest. I don't think it's a coincidence, but we don't have any evidence on that.
But I have had calls right here in the office from people who suddenly, mysteriously, their banker cuts them off and they had perfectly good credit and everything else. And it's because of a government investigation into you. The government went to your banker and did stuff. And that is, and they didn't notify you about it.
Well, there's been no court case take place.
Right. Fight it. None.
You haven't been adjudicated. This is the government punishing you without a trial is what that is. And it's unconstitutional. And it's a deep violation of your civil liberties. And when the government does it, at least I think that you have, under current law, I think that if you could prove that that's what was happening, you would have a remedy. assuming Bivens doesn't go away, John, as we were talking about in the last segment. But it's not clear that you would have a remedy against some of these private actors who are doing this. I mean, I find it interesting that the left with sticking with Colorado. So Masterpiece Cake Shop, people are up in arms that Masterpiece Cake Shop would deny a cake to a customer, a custom made cake. Now, even Masterpiece Cake Shop said, look, you want an off the shelf cake. You can have an off the shelf cake. That's not a problem. We're just not going to custom bake one. For a particular event that they have a concern with, but that's not what this lab owner was doing. This is a very far step beyond what Masterpiece Cake Shop was doing. This person wasn't saying, well, you could have the off the test lab, but we're not going to do something customized for you. No, they're saying you can't have the off the shelf test is what this owner was saying. And that way lies the destruction of civil society, and people need to think hard and take a giant step back from that abyss.
Welcome back, everybody. I want to talk about one of my cases that is near and dear to me. And what brings this up, actually, is because NCLA has just released a video about the case. And you can see it at nclalegal.org. And the video features Alan Walburn, who's one of our clients, and also has Craig Daffix in there, but I don't think he's labeled. And yours truly, you can see my views, and it's only a few minutes
and
long.
John is also labeled,
and I'm also labeled. Yes, you'll know who I am. But the point of the video is to describe what's happening here in terms that anybody and understand, and which are not always the terms we lawyers use. But what's happened in this case, and we filed summary judgment about a month ago, and we're expecting this month the government's view. And the case is Mexican Gulf versus Commerce, and NOAA is in there. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is the prime mover here, and also the National Fisheries. But
I try to get John to talk about this case as being against NOAA, because I just think if you have a case representing a captain against the government, you know, it really has to be Mexican Gulf v. NOAA. But, you know, that's just the marketing side of me, I guess.
I should have put it first in the complaint. But in any event, so the thing is, what happens is for all of these charter boat people, they first have to get a license from the government, because as I've said before, everybody agrees it's the government's fish. I don't think the government likes it too much, but I always bring up Robin Hood, so that you, people understand this. Why when Robin Hood's hunting deer, is he always hunted down by King John and the sheriff? Well, it's the king's deer, right? They're king's forest, king deer, all animals in it are the king's. That's how our seas work as well. The United States seas, the fish in there belong to the government, to the people, meaning to the government in this case. So no one's arguing about this, and it's not about, and it's certainly not about the environment or conservation or any of this.
So you're saying there aren't other fish in the sea?
There aren't. There are no non-government fish. I think it was, I forget who the comedian was, but it was government cheese. But anyway, this is government fish. And but these charter boat fishermen, many of you probably have done this. You go out on the water and a charter boat takes you out. You go and fish and then you leave the dock. You take your fish with you when you go. And the Gulf of Mexico is very popular and people do it all the time. And you have to have permits to do that. And the government wants to count the fish that are being taken in. Now, this is a very, very small amount. These charter boats take in a very small amount of fish compared to commercial vessels or even sports fish. People who have their own boats who go out and they fish, they get tons more fish than charter boat fishermen.
So what are we talking about? Like 1% of the total?
One and a half. Maybe it rises to 2. We'll see what the government says. We say about 1.5 of percentage. So what the government has said is that you have got to buy an expensive GPS and put it on your boat, and you have to call us before you leave the dock and tell us what you're doing. And then and we're going to GPS track you. It'll go back to the government. And, oh, by the way, we're also giving you an app in which you have to tell us how many people you have on your boat, what you're charging them. And the GPS is also going to tell us where you were exactly when you caught X fish. Now, you got to understand, many of these people have been on the water for 30 years. They have their prime fishing holes. It's extremely commercially valuable information, what they do and where they go. So nobody believes the government can keep a secret, you know?
It's a trade secret, right?
Right, exactly. So why is the government doing this? Well, the government gets to count fish, but they have an app. We are not challenging. What you do is you put into the app when you come back to the dock, you count up all the fish and that your customers caught. Or they threw back, and you put them in the app and you send it to NOAA. And if this had been an expensive proposition, we probably would still be challenging it, but it turns out that works pretty well. And so NOAA gets the information it needs about how many fish are being taken out. And that is really, that allows them to make all their decisions on conservation. They don't need this other information. It's just because once an agency gets the bit between its teeth, it just expands and expands. And as Alan says, he's basically got an ankle bracelet on his boat. He's never committed a crime, and yet he's being followed around by the government at all times. And these are small boats. So he could take the boat out for non-fishing purposes. He could go have dinner across the way. He could go on a sightseeing tour. Could never have any fishing intent at all, and he's still being tracked by the government. What is the purpose of that? So not only do you have violations of your right against search and seizure, your right against surveillance, all of this, but you have it for what appears to be no good reason. And this is something that has got to be fought. And NCLA has now moved for summary judgment on the record. And there's nothing in the record that says that that these charter boat captains are violating the law or going into off-limits places or fishing too much. There's none of that. It's zero evidence. So we hope that to the extent the administrative agencies are doing the right thing, that they at least make finding, like, you go out and you find, I'll say the commercial fishermen, right? So commercial fishermen take in X amount of fish, like a lot. I always think of it as some of the commercial boats can dip nets in the water, for instance, and take up 50,000, 100,000 pounds of fish, right? You could quickly get to a quota. Charter boat captains don't have quotas, but the big guys do. And they could get a quota in a day. NOAA has to know about that because they can't have all the fish in the sea taken out in 6 days. This is not what's happening. And the reason I'm saying this is because all the people we represent want there to be fish in the sea. And NOAA wants there to be fish in the sea. But the administrative drive seems to be to glom on to more and more things with more and more intrusion into people's lives that seems to have no purpose at all. We'll see
what
happens.
The reason this case is near and dear to John's heart is because he's really a sea captain at heart. and he has sympathy for these guys who love nothing more than to be free on the, you know, on the wide open sea in the Gulf of Mexico, and the government will have none of that.
They'll have none of that. And yeah, that is true. I do like the water. I like going out. And the fact is though, that, you're already regulated. It's not like they're starting from zero. They have to get their permits. They have to tell the government where they are, you know, when they come back to docks and things like that. Now, why
there's certain kinds of fish they're not allowed to catch and that kind of thing, right?
Correct. And there are certain places that the government puts off limits. Like if there's breeding, you know, things going on, they don't want the animals disturbed. There's all kinds of things, but there's no finding. This is not the thing where there was a big emergency. This is the thing that sort of drives me nuts. It's not like there was a bunch of charter boat fishermen were going in and disturbing the manatees, right? They were disturbing the manatees in the wrong spot. And the government found this out, and then they did a research and they said, well, how many are doing this? Oh, it's 50%, you know, of the charter fishermen are disturbing the manatee breeding grounds or something. And then you'd see a regulation, don't go in the manatee. And now you got to tell us where you're going because you've all been going to the manatee. There's none of that. It's not like you've been doing anything wrong. Therefore, we are having a regulation to prevent it. It's, you know what we'd like to know?
Yeah, this is a solution in search of a problem.
That's exactly right. So, and Alan has a view. I don't know if this is correct, but certainly the evidence of what they've done thus far does seem to show it. So the commercial fishermen have had this type of GPS, but commercial boats aren't taken out for anything but fishing. That's all you do. They're a giant thing. You don't go on a sightseeing tour.
You don't take your wife on a moonlit cruise on a giant commercial fishing boat that smells like a cannery.
You do not.
Okay.
So I don't. So in any event,
I've met your wife. I don't think that would be her idea of a romantic evening.
No. So they did that, and now they're coming after the charter boat people who, as I always point out, they don't fish themselves. They take other people out to fish. And then are they going to do this to recreational fishers? I mean, the recreational fishermen who just go out, if you have your boat with your Evan Rude on it or your Grady White or whatever you have, and you head out into federal waters and you start fishing, are they allowed to put a GPS on you and monitor where you are at all times? You've got a fishing pole. You can take maybe, I don't know, 6 fish a day, 10 fish a day. What could you take? And they're going to be monitoring where you are at all times. It's crazy.
Well, and if they can do it in the Gulf of Mexico, they can do it in the Great Lakes. They can do it in, you know, any place else where there's federal water.
That's exactly right. I don't want to get into the waters of the United States. Maybe they could do it on bogs. You know, the reason that's funny, I'll explain the joke to those. There are tons of administrative law cases about what the waters of the United States are. And Justice Story famously said that I will extend maritime jurisdiction of the United States over a bucket of water. And the EPA has taken him at his word. And they have tried to make any place where that has water that might eventually make it to federal water as water of the United States. So many, many property owners around the United States, far from where they thought there were waters of the United States, have been caught. So that's the joke, which you shouldn't have to explain it, but I decided
but if the puddle is large enough, the government will claim jurisdiction.
Exactly.